it is Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Are you angry? No, really. Has that one person got you fuming? Well, call them out. Now's your chance to tell them.
You know what? You just made the list.
You just made the list.
Here we go.
Let us know who's on your list. Call 615-737-1025. You just made the list. Now, on Darren, Donick, and Chase.
All right, it's time for you to release. It's therapy time here on Darren, Donick, and Chase on this Friday afternoon. Who or what has made you mad? 615-737-1025. That's how you get in touch with us. And that is our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We are encouraging your calls. And I am currently scrolling for the prize, because I can't find it. Need help.
You need help?
I don't see it. I don't see the, where, am I missing it?
Hang on.
There it is. Okay, 10 roof card. Okay, it was right there. It's real small. 10 roof card, gift card. $25 gift card to 10 roof. Okay, for you,
there
just
you go.
Made the list. All right. It was hiding. Okay, who wants to start? Who's feeling it?
I'm today? Ready.
Okay, well,
I'm
you're ready.
I've
you jumped out there. You go for it.
I have had this one ready since Monday, because this happened during the show, I should say.
Okay.
So when you tweet at us, you become possible. You just made the list material.
Oh, it's so okay. Are we going the same place? All right, I'm sitting back.
Maybe.
All right, you have my attention.
Maybe, because this person elected to slide in the DMs. But again, you slid in my DMs. You just made the list material. So JB sends me this when we were talking about Taylor Lewan, and you, Darren, I think it was you, threw out, has it been discussed that he could play on the torn ACL, and we gave examples of how that has been done before.
Yep.
So JB says, "Will
it
you
created quite the discussion?" By the way,
it did. It did. JB says, "Will you please shut the bleep up about the ACL? He is out for the year. Holy bleep! Shut up. No one plays on torn ACLs. Shut up." That was his message to me. So I was like, all right, do I ignore this? No, I'm not going to do that. Why would I do that? I said, one, don't cuss at me. You don't know me. Two, we stated examples of people playing on torn ACLs. Three, we also stated that we didn't think it was likely, just asked if it was discussed. I thought that my response was,
yeah, more than appropriate.
Very appropriate. And then 30 seconds later, it says, you can no longer send direct message to this person. I was blocked.
Oh, weak. Weak.
So, JB, for throwing the Derrick Henry stiff arm, even though it wasn't really,
you just made the list.
So he wants to engage, and then when you engage back, you don't want to be part of it. And by the way, you engaged with a very professional response.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard you say this for years, and I feel the same way. If you want to disagree with me, totally fine. We're not always going to agree. If you want to tweet at me or DM me and have a discussion about it and tell me that you disagree and tell me why you disagree, totally fine. But don't come at me dropping F-bombs when we've never met, we've never interacted before, and have that kind of attitude, because you're just going to lose me. If you insult me or cuss at me or something like that, just not going to get anywhere.
Okay, so we are going down the exact same road. So I'll just go from there, okay? So we had our discussion yesterday about Jeremy Pruitt, right? And the whole Tennessee coaching situation. Yes, this is kind of a repeat of what I've said in the past, but we're going to revisit it since some people, you know, don't get the memo or don't, you know, have forgotten about this. So we have that discussion. I thought, once again, another healthy, good discussion back and forth about the whole Jeremy Pruitt situation and what's realistic. Willie says, give him time. I'm like, you don't need 5 years. Anyway, we're having what we do on Sports Talk Radio. I get, same deal, somebody very mad, a Tennessee fan very mad on Twitter, with a lot of exclamation points and a lot of bold lettering, capitalized words, okay? It's just showing me how mad they are. Strike number one, they don't even know who's saying what. There's strike number one. There's a pet peeve of mine I've said for years. If you don't know who the hell is talking on the show, then don't tweet us. Okay? Figure it out first and direct it to that person. If you don't know who's saying what, I don't care. Okay? That's up to you to figure that out. If you're that mad, you figure out who's making you mad. Don't direct it to everybody. Because if I'm the one that's making you mad, then you need to direct it to me. If it's Chase, then direct it to Chase. If it's Willie, direct it to them. Don't lump everybody in there and say, I don't know who said what. Then figure it out, okay? There's strike number one. Strike number two, once again, swearing. And if you can't have a conversation on Twitter without swearing, strike number two. I have no interest in engaging. And here's the ultimate strike number three. If you don't have 1.2 seconds in your life to hit follow and you think you're going to get into a back and forth when it's free and it takes 1.2 seconds to follow somebody, if you think you're going to have a back and forth, you're swearing, you don't know who said it on the show, and you don't even follow them, you got nothing, man. You're going to get crickets from me. Absolutely. Strike three, you are out. And
you just made the list.
Period.
Well said.
Willie.
That was Darren. I'm Chase. That's Willie.
No, don't tell me. You know, it's not hard to figure this stuff out. We don't sound the same. Do we?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
On the list for me, dude at the World Series, guy makes a great catch in the stands on a home run ball. Hit by the Dodgers. Falling back, reaching up. Great catch. I was really ready to give the guy a gold star. Then what does he do? He starts dancing around. Fine. You're excited. He throws his glove on the field.
Oh, yeah, no.
What is he doing?
I must have missed this. I think I
missed that,
I
too.
Well,
he throws a glove on the field. And he keeps dancing around like, yeah. And I'm like, is this guy on drugs? What did they put in his hot dog? What is going on? And then Randy Arozarena for the Rays picks up the glove and throws it back to him in the stands. I'm like, this guy didn't deserve to get his glove back. Come on. If you bring your glove to the game, great. There were some people on Twitter that were like, adults should never bring the glove. You know, if you're going to make the catch as an adult, you should make the bare hand catch. From sort of a macho angle, I see that. But if a guy wants to bring his glove, I don't have a problem. But you make a great catch, and you throw the glove on the field? What? On that, you absolutely...
You just made the list.
He made the list. He did not deserve to get the glove back.
That's funny.
I didn't see that, but yeah, I'm with you. No,
he threw the glove on the field.
That glove should be gone. That should go to a charity or something. That glove should not go back to him.
Yeah, if you throw a glove at me when I'm in left field, I am punting that thing like I'm Craig Hendrick up into the third, fourth row.
By the way, did you?
I guess Randy is a really nice guy. The home run was just hit against his team. Like he could have looked at, like he looked at him like, "Are you serious?" He was shocked. Like Joe Buck and John Smoltz too are like, "What is he doing?" I've never seen that before. Have you guys ever seen that?
No,
not that I can think of.
And it's not like it slipped out of his hand. He was in his excitement and like a victory dance. He threw it on the field.
That's strange.
Like, come on, man.
Did you guys see, real quick before we get to the phones, did you guys see A-Rod on the pregame show last night throwing the football to Jay Glazer? And I thought Jay Glazer was going to fall over the railing that he was on because A-Rod threw it kind of high. And Jay didn't have a lot of room to make the play, but he did. And I was like, whoa, whoa. But it was kind of funny.
I didn't see that. All right, we've got loaded lines. We're ready to get to the phones?
Bring it.
615-737-1025. This is where you interact with the show. $25 gift card to Tin Roof on the line. Let's start with Nate. He's on our phone line first up, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com.
First off, I don't want to break my hand if I'm catching a liner into the first seats in the outfield. So that's why I would put on a glove. So, yeah. You know.
That's smart.
But who is on my list is Fox from last night. I know it was a big deal, but if I didn't care about the debate that happened last night, what makes them think I would have cared from five different basically informative messages on the screen saying, hey, the debate's on these alternate channels. You know, come watch it. I didn't care about the debate after seeing 2 weeks of commercials. And don't tell me that the messaging was for the people that may not have known about the debate, because that is just total BS. If you didn't know about the debate, then you were probably living under a rock with Patrick from SpongeBob. But even then, you would know about the debate because he has a TV. I watched the first half of the game and saw probably about 10 different times. It was almost like there was some bad weather coming in, and we were continuously being informed of the debate. It was getting on my nerves because it was not on a small, tiny crawler like on ESPN. It was like a, hey, look at me crawler. If people are not going to watch the debate after five times of showing it, just give up and move on. Maybe check back at halftime or in the second half when nothing is going on, because the debaters need to, you know, stir up their crazy anyways. So an hour into the debate is probably more entertaining. So for Fox, with the oversaturation of, hey, come watch the debate on these alternate channels.
You just made the list.
All right. I hope you feel better, Nate. That sounds like that was a little pent up. All right. Was the game on? Is that what he was saying? The game was on Fox?
Yeah, the game was on Fox.
Okay, you know how you avoid that? I watched it on the NFL Network. You didn't have any of that. That's how you avoid the crawler.
And that's smart.
Yeah, I just watched. So I don't know what he's. I was watching on NFL Network, so there was none of that going on. So I'm glad I missed it because it fired him up. Let's go to Doug. Doug is next up on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Doug, what do you got?
Guys, you guys have been bringing it, and I think I'm going to bring it. So what made my list is the officers providing the police funeral escort of my father-in-law. You guys made the list.
You just made the list.
Let me paint the picture. Unfortunately, I just lost my father-in-law to this terrible pandemic. You know, fast, quick, and nobody seen it. And anyway, the funeral is held, and then you're heading to the final resting place, and the processional is being done by the funeral company and the police. You know how they normally leapfrog and block the intersection so the family can get there without impeding the flow of traffic. Well, as we're going, all of a sudden, they miss the turn to the burial site. And I'm sitting there quietly. And finally, my mother-in-law, you know, in the midst of her mourning, she says, we should have turned back there. And the guy driving the car didn't say anything. And then we're in the limo, and family are looking at me and saying, hey, he missed the turn. I said, what you telling me for? He's the one driving. So the guy pulls out his phone. He calls the other lead car and says, hey, I think we missed the turn, because they don't know where they're going. And then there's a roundabout running and turning, and I see places where we can turn this big caravan around and head to the right direction. Nothing's happening. And I say, you know what, guys? They're lost. And just to break the ice, I said, you know, you guys have always made fun of father-in-law taking his time getting to places, always joking about it took you so long to get to the ball game of the kids, it took you so long, where'd you go? And he'd always say, I just take my time. So I said, just to break the ice, you know what, even in his final tour, he's letting you guys know that he can take his time getting anywhere he goes. So 30 minutes later, the police pull in. Nobody hangs around to explain that they were lost. They just hightail it out of there once we pull into the burial site. So police who provided
you the just escort, made the list.
I will not name names. I'm a supporter of the police. So the names will not be mentioned to protect the innocent. You guys were lost as a goat in a hailstorm.
Doug, sorry about your loss, man.
Yes, very sorry about that.
But father-in-law came out the victor because he showed them, in the end, I still take my time and get to places I want to get to in my leisure.
Well said. Thanks as always. Doug never disappoints. 615-737-1025. Ben, you're up next. Who are what is on your list?
Gentlemen, happy Friday. So check it out. I got three people on my list. Two of them is going to be like a twofer. So I'm going to lead off with the twofer. So whoever it is that owns the companies that sells or rents these little scooters around downtown Nashville and all of these other people who decide they want to be mini Lance Armstrongs in subdivisions with no sidewalks, all of you just made the list with me.
You just made the list.
Because, number one, they are in the way, in traffic, all the time, especially the little scooters around downtown Nashville. I don't know what genius decided this was a great idea, but you got damn 50-year-old people who've never been on a scooter ever in their life riding around on little electric scooters in the way of people in downtown Nashville trying to drive cars and trucks, listening to country music, about to run you over and make a sandwich out of you. And you got the same thing going on in subdivisions with people with their little stupid helmets. Listen, I'll tell you what. Take your Schwinn, put it on the back of your Prius, and keep it moving. Don't be in my way. That's number one. Number two, whoever decided that Danny Dimes last night needed to run that play for 80 yards for the Giants and did not tell that young man that when you're running, you got to stay up. You just made the list.
You just made the list.
That kid looked like he got shot by a sniper out of the stands with no. He tackled himself.
That
was
unbelievable.
Danny Dimes.
He just gave out.
I've never seen that happen.
Somebody spread down the field all by themselves and just start flopping all over the place and face planting at the 15.
Elijah, if we can find Joe Buck's call, it is priceless because Joe Buck says, he's gone. And why wouldn't you say that? Because there was nobody near him. And then he's like, he's trying to stay upright. And he trips. It was
well,
great.
I don't know if he trips.
Whatever you call it. He couldn't stay up.
Did you see his face?
No.
His face was set at all. He was running, and he was so scared to get tackled. He's looking behind him. You see in his face, he's like, please, somebody tackle me. I'm out of breath. I can't keep going. He's waiting for somebody to tackle him, and finally he just falls down. He's like, screw it, I'm going to tackle myself. And he just falls down on the field. It's ridiculous.
That was so bad.
Thank you, gentlemen. All right. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you, Ben.
Thank goodness they punched
it
in and got the touchdown, or else he would never live that down.
There were two plays last night. What's going back to what we said, the Giants, like, how did you lose that game? That play right there, and then Evan Ingram, you know, dropping that pass, the floater right in his hands, could have sealed the game, drops it.
Oh,
terrible.
It was unreal.
Barrett, you're up next on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Who or what's on your list?
Hey, a big shout out to Doug. He's a hell of a caller and highly entertaining. And very sorry to hear that bad news for you, buddy.
Yep, well said.
Yeah, he's fantastic. I look forward to him every week. I'm going to put the Tennessee Titans on the list, and I'm telling you, the Steelers are not just an opponent. they aren't saying it in public, but I've been listening to Steelers Nation Radio all week long, and they are mad. It's personal to them. This team has upended their entire season, put them in this three-week stretch, a brutal murderer's row on the road, and they fully intend to come down here and take it out on them. Last week at Cleveland was a complete, total beatdown, and that was almost a pick'em game at home for them. They weren't favored by much. And so if last week is any indication whatsoever, it's going to be a very, very long day for the Tennessee team. I'm not predicting a win because historically they tend to lose more than win down here for whatever reason. Former players were discussing that. It's almost like a jinx or something. So I'm not going to call it out. They're going to get your butts kicked. But it's going to be, if you do win, it's going to be the hardest fight you've ever fought ever on the football field because they are coming to bring it. Y'all have a great weekend.
All right. Thank you,
you
Barrett.
Just you made too. The list.
We know what Barrett will be doing Sunday at noon. All right. Finally, Michael, welcome in. Who or what is on your list?
Hey, fellas. Always enjoy listening. I was just wanting to call in instead of hiding behind the keyboard. And for clarification, I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. But Chase is still on the list. Every time you guys have a guest on, you ask legitimate questions about the Titans. And then he's usually the final person to ask questions, and it's always about the Cowboys.
They're America's team.
No, absolutely. I haven't cared about the Cowboys since I was in elementary school in the 90s. So, and that was before the Titans were here. So
they're America's team.
Yeah, I get that, but this is Nashville, Tennessee, and Dallas is about 1,000 miles away. So anyway, it's for that. Chase just made the list.
You just made the list!
I was wondering if you were going to call.
I love how
you
he
texted.
Sat that in there.
That call
was good.
Just never gets old. It's
That could be a winner right there.
Pile on Chase, yeah, that's fine.
We're just waiting for Michael to get to the punchline.
Listen. Tim Hasselbeck covers the. He can talk about the entire NFL. Darren and Willie had asked their questions about the Titans.
You
and
don't need to defend yourself.
I was
going to
say, you
it.
Should get
just
this response it. Canned so Elijah's got it. Just tell him to hit play.
Yes, this is a recording.
Right. This is a recording. And so I ask about the Cowboys because they suck. And I want to know why Tim thinks they suck.
By the way, if they lose, did you say that you will not mention them the rest of the year if they lose this week?
Yeah, if they lose this weekend to the football team, I will not bring them up again.
All right. Michael, you just heard that. You just heard. All right. Elijah, is Coach at the podium?
He is not. Robbie said they're on the field still, so it might be another 10 minutes.
Oh, okay. Well that's going to work out perfect. Super duper. We've got some tough decisions on this. That was good.
They brought it today.
That was really good. All right. We'll get a winner during the break. Okay. We'll hear from head coach Mike Vrabel here in the next 5-10 minutes. By the way, speaking of somebody we've talked about this week, I did see where guess who was on the practice field today?
Adoree?
Well, yes. Yes, Adoree was on there. But guess who else?
I don't know. Tell
Isaiah Wilson.
Whoa. I forgot he was on the team.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Isaiah Wilson.
Interesting.
Do we think he actually plays?
No.
No, I don't either.
No.
But he is on the practice field, and that is really sad in late October that we're making a big deal about a first-round pick that was on the practice field today. But it is newsworthy. He was on the practice field. Okay, so we'll hear from Mike Vrabel in about 5 or 10 minutes. We'll step away. More of Darren, Donick, and Chase next on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Not since the old Green Bay Packers has a pro football team become as well known as the Pittsburgh Steelers. Familiar faces that will make handsome busts in the Hall of Fame. It's a team of great character, men of superior physical strength, and superb athletic ability. Men who would give you the shirts off their back. But the architect...
of this NFL.
Go ahead, Darren.
All right, I didn't want to like talk over that. I wanted to hear that.
Great, John Facenda is great, but I think we got the point. Let's test your memory, Darren. Jace is a little young for this, but when he says they'll even give you the shirt off their back, do you know what clip they showed with that? That had to do with the Steelers.
Oh, I know that one.
Joe Green.
Yes, Mean Joe Green, the Coke commercial. Remember that?
Oh yeah,
yeah. Hey kid, catch.
Oh man, my brother and I did a skit, a talent show skit, and reenacted that that scene. It was a big hit.
Do you want to hear something crazy? So did I in school.
Did you really?
Yes, I did.
And our gag was going to be that I would chug the Coke and then burp. And then I choked on the burp. I had a big air burp. I tried to burp right into the mic, and it was like, ah. So the crowd actually laughed harder at that than they would have if I had really let one rip. But that's like one of the most iconic commercials ever. The Mean Joe Green Coke.
No doubt. You've got the records of the home teams?
Yeah, I was curious, so I looked it up. The home team's record, we were talking about home field advantage. Is the line different? Does Vegas look at it differently, given the fact that there's not as many fans, sometimes no fans, in the stands compared to before? So this is just last year to this year. Last year, home teams were 136 and 124. So a winning percentage of about 52%. This year, 48, 43, and 1, about 53%. So it's almost a wash. It's so far, it's been almost exactly the same. So I don't know what we had in our mind. I don't know what I had in my mind of what it is when it's regular, but and I'd have to look at more years. But so far, it hasn't really made a difference in how the home team has done last year to this year.
That is really interesting. So it's basically stayed the same.
In terms of the one loss record from last year to this year.
What is it? What did you say was more like up a percent, maybe?
It's 1%, about 1% more this year. 48, 43, and 1. Of course, the Eagles had the tie at home against Cincinnati.
Yep.
So it's almost identical. It's within a percentage point.
I'm a little surprised by that.
Me too.
I would have thought it would have been different, but
there are certain teams that, you know, you would think have a real home field advantage, right? Seattle comes to mind, clearly. You know, places like Pittsburgh, Green Bay, those are, and there's just a lot of places around the NFL where you go, that's a real home field advantage. You know, we don't know what Las Vegas would have been like. We don't know what the new stadium in L.A. for the Chargers and the Rams would do for them because, you know, new stadiums like that, new teams, you would expect sellouts, right, if we were in normal times and quite the atmosphere. I mean, we don't know, you know, Minnesota, where the Titans have gone, Titans in Minnesota and in Denver, you know, those would have been packed houses, sold out with their fans. Little surprised that the numbers aren't skewed a little bit more in favor of the road teams with lesser fans or no fans.
And that's where the debate comes in of what is – when you get to the highest level and the playing field is the same. Now, the conditions aren't always the same because the cold weather, warm weather, inside, outside, that does come into play. But the crowd itself, like I think we would all agree, Seattle is one of the great atmospheres in the sport. They were only 4-4 at home last year. They were better on the road a year ago. So it does vary from year to year. And, you know, the really good teams, once the game gets going, they're pretty good at blocking out the rise and fall of the crowd to some degree as professionals. Now, college is probably different. I'd love to do I don't know how to do it. I'll try to surf around, but I'd like to do a similar comparison in the college.
Because I feel like that.
I bet it's not 52%.
I bet it's a lot different. Yeah. And there's a lot more mismatches in college, too.
True.
Right? We're talking about a parity-based league, and it's not so much in college, for sure.
That's it's an interesting case study, though, to get those numbers, because you would think it'd be different. So,
well, it's not going to be. and you know, what's the number for this game? What can they have? About 12,000? Is that right?
Yeah, somewhere in there, 10-ish, 12, you know, somewhere in that that range. I know it keeps going up, but just I don't have the number right in front of me.
And how many of those in the small, you know, that small crowd? I mean, how many of those are going to be black and gold, right?
I mean, oh, yeah. And I looked online when we were starting the show on StubHub. They're about 300 to 350, depending on where you look, to try and as the cheapest ticket available.
Three, I would have expected a little bit more, to be honest.
Yeah, like closer to four.
Yep. But those also may be seats way, way up.
Sure.
I'm sure club and lower level probably, if people have sold them, they've probably gotten a pretty penny for them.
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely. but you're still going to have people that are willing to pay that because they want to go. They know that this is a big game, and it is. It'd be a fun time. And, you know, if this were normal times, I would say that that'd be a sellout. Now, what would the percent, you know, the split be between Titans and Steelers fans? I don't know, but guess we won't know, sadly.
We will not. So we should hear from Mike Vrabel. In fact, I don't know, Elijah, what are you getting from the Titans? It's a couple more minutes?
Yeah, just a couple more minutes. About maybe 5 minutes ago, they said the practice wrapped up. So it should be here really soon.
Do you want us to go on so we can do nothing? We can hear that on the other side? Is that what you want us to do? Let's step away. We've got Lee Sterling from Paramount Sports coming up to start the fourth and final hour, plus pick six. But we'll step away for the final time this third hour, and we'll come back, and we should have Mike Vrabel at the podium talking about this game, talking about who was at practice, who was not at practice, and we should hear that on the other side. Darren Donica Chase, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. Well, you can
tell Darren Donica Chase, Mike Vrabel, the Titans head coach, has gone to the podium, so we will head over to St. Thomas Sports Park and hear from Mike Vrabel.
You know, I think we got a lot of faith in what Todd and Frank and their staff are doing to make sure that they're ready to go. And we understand, you know, how they feel when we have an idea of an expectation of what they may be able to handle during the games.
Eric?
Hey, Mike, how has Adoree looked this week? How has he responded to a full week of practice? And do you anticipate him being available Sunday?
You know, still working through some things there. It was positive. It was good to get him out there and practice, start his window and his time. You know, we'll see kind of how he feels tomorrow after today's work and make that decision.
Buck?
Hey, Coach. Along those same lines, Michael and Corey, how'd you like the week of work that you got out of those two?
It was good. You know, I mean, those guys are important parts of what we're doing. You know, Prue able to play on the line of scrimmage, plays in the backfield, plays in the kicking game. You know, so that's a versatile piece. It's good to have back. And then certainly, you know, what Corey, you know, can bring to our offense and has been a huge part of it. So. Hopefully we'll see how those guys feel again as the work continues. But I would say that, you know, they felt good and looked good through the week.
And with getting Isaiah back today as well, I know it's tough when you can't string days together with him at practice, but what do you need to see from him before he can start to, you know, before you can find out where he can help your football team?
Start with more than a Friday practice.
Paul?
Mike, can you kind of compare and contrast Dupree and Watt in terms of what you're going to be trying to hold up against pass rush-wise?
Two very good players. You know, they've got length. They've got speed. You know, the one thing I think, you know, really good flexibility. You know, I think with Watt is just his ability to, you know, bend and corner Dupree's power, his speed. You know, they play extremely hard. They're talented players, and it's going to be a huge challenge for us. They're both active in the run game, as well, setting the edge. So this will be our best test of the season. I think collectively, obviously, with both these guys on either edges, and they're very instinctive players, and they're talented.
Terry?
Mike, how much has Ben Roethlisberger's game and his approach changed over the years? Is it still similar to when he was in the league 10, 12 years ago, or has it changed dramatically?
Terry, you might have to help me on what it – obviously he's not running like he was. I think that's the biggest and probably the most obvious is just – he was so difficult to bring down and tackle. He just had a great confidence in his ability to shrug rushers off and to make plays down the field, play extension. I think that's there. I think he's been more decisive with the football. He's still tough to bring down. He hasn't been sacked many times. And so, probably just overall speed. Foot speed. But, he ran for a first down against, the Texans when he had to on third and four, scrambled and, stiff-armed a player and was able to reach the ball out. So, he's healthy and he's playing well, very well.
And how much of a challenge does it make for the secondary when he's still able, even at his age, to extend plays and to get the scramble drill going, that sort of thing.
Seems like that's what it is every week. And we have to continue to improve on it. We got to be able to, rush and be able to harness the quarterback and trigger when he does get out of the pocket and make sure that we plaster and, the receivers, again, when they all have at least 25 targets and five different guys, they're all available and they're all coming back for the ball. They're all executing what they should be doing. And, that was something that we didn't do a very good job of last week. We got the quarterback to pull up, we triggered him and we weren't able to execute down there in the red zone on third and six. So, I'm sure they're looking at that and thinking that they'll probably have the same thing if Ben gets out of the pocket.
John.
Mike, I know you have a long relationship with David Quisenberry. Wonder what you've liked about him over the years and whether he kind of provides a, sort of a reliable standby in the situation where you guys are a little thin at tackle right now.
He loves football. He's a great teammate. I've never seen anybody happier for their teammates when they have success, watching him on the sidelines. He was a player that, when he was on the practice squad last year, we wanted to try to bring him with us just for his knowledge and support. It was unbelievable how into the game he is. And then he has a versatility and a toughness, obviously battling with those things that he's been through in his past, like a lot of people. But, I think those are some really good qualities.
Yep. And then on the tackle front, obviously Taylor missed the first four games of last year. I wonder if looking back at those games, potentially helps in this kind of situation where, you're going to be without him for the rest of the season.
Ty stepped in there every time Taylor was down. Ty's played some snaps for us this year. So, I haven't thought too much about that. I haven't looked at that approach and, I know when we went in there the other day and Jeremy busted one for 20 yards. Ty blocked his guy, blocked him well. And when we scored on the Wildcat, we went behind Ty and we blocked his guy and we scored. So, he just ready for the opportunity, stepped in there and has done well. Now he'll get extended time.
Thanks. I got time for two more. Players were itching to go. Chris Harris.
Hey Mike, anything more you can do to harp on third down defense given the struggle so far with it this year?
Harp, we're trying to coach. We're trying to coach and play better on third down.
Okay. I didn't know if there was anything specific schematically or anything that you guys have tried to change up just to augment that or combat that.
Well, you asked if I harped on anything. So, no, we just try to coach it and figure it out and coordinate it. And there's not a whole lot of secrets to the third down. They're going to drop back and throw it, and we're going to have to rush, and we're going to have to cover them. And get a call in there that the players know and that they execute and then they're comfortable with. That's the secret to third down.
Thank you.
Rhonda, do you want to squeeze one in, or are you good?
No, I'm good. I can skip it.
Okay.
You know, and just whether it's third and one or third and seven, you know, third and one, it's somebody's got to, you know, there's a million calls, but at the end of the day, they need a yard. Somebody's going to have to whip somebody, and then somebody's going to have to make a play, or they, you know, they fall forward. And, you know, I think you saw some of that on the goal line or some of those third and ones, you know, they're close, and whether the back falls forward or you're able to knock them back, that's what it comes down to. That's how we coach short yardage defense, is that somebody's going to have to whip somebody and make a play. And then third and seven, somebody's going to have to rush and win, and somebody's going to have to get in tight coverage.
Appreciate it, Coach.
Yep.
Thanks, Coach. Mike. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
There you go.
Thanks.
Titans head coach Mike Vrabel talking about the matchup.
I don't know. Did Chris Harris kind of like burst into tears or like have a frown on the Zoom? Because like Mike Vrabel started off like, you asked me if I harped on something. Like it's almost right. Like he said, I don't play the harp. You know, I play the tuba or something. Like, and then it's like he felt guilty. So he's like, let me actually give you an answer. Because like Chris Harris is probably sitting there going, I asked a legit question here. They have struggled on third down. Like people might want to know, like, what are you trying to do?
It's Pittsburgh week.
It's yeah. Pittsburgh week, man. We don't play harps on Pittsburgh week.
Going to be hard to probably get him loosey-goosey. Friday before Pittsburgh, before the Pittsburgh game.
Whatever it takes. You know, if he's got if whatever gets him into his mode that he needs to be in, then fine. You can tell the Isaiah Wilson stuff, still not wanting to go there much.
You can?
Yeah, a little bit.
What was his answer? 1 or 2 seconds?
Maybe two.
Okay.
And it's a truthful answer. Well, like, not really going to be able to tell much on a Friday practice.
He's been very consistent. And, you know, I don't really blame him. I mean, I'm sure they have been extremely frustrated behind the scenes with Isaiah Wilson. I mean, it's been a disastrous beginning to his NFL career. Hopefully, you know, it's all in the rearview mirror one day and, you know, everybody will kind of forget about his rookie year. But right now they kind of need that first-round pick to step up and be a pro, and all he's been known for is just a whole bunch of nonsense off the field.
Like, yeah.
Nothing on the field. I mean, nothing.
If Willie and I showed up to your Tidal Wave press conference and asked you about, you know, a first baseman that hasn't been able to play, I think you'd have the same response.
Possibly, yeah. Possibly.
In the same attitude.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's just not going to talk about a guy who has been completely irrelevant for their roster right now. They're 5-0 without Isaiah Wilson. Why would he spend a great amount of time talking about a guy that hasn't contributed one thing to this team to this point? I don't blame him. I wouldn't either. Like, Isaiah Wilson has nothing to do with their 5-0 start. He has nothing to do with any success that they've had because he's done nothing. So, what is there to say, right?
Exactly.
That's the way I look at it. I don't blame him. I understand the questions have to be asked.
And I think he understands that,
especially since he was on the practice field. Like, that is, you know, you have to know that question or questions are coming. But, you know, you also have to know when you have to ask that question, be prepared for either a follow-up or be prepared for the shortest answer ever. Right, because and go and let somebody else ask the next question because you know it's going to be very brief. But it's time, and maybe this is hopefully this will serve as a wake up call to Isaiah Wilson. Hopefully, but you know I would have said that after about the first 4 or 5 things that happened with Isaiah Wilson, there would be a wake up call, and it hasn't yet. He's clearly not going to be out there on Sunday,
no.
But at some point. I just kind of feel like there is no room for a redshirt year. I just don't think that can be in the plans. Taylor Lewan is not going to be the only guy that's going to go down on that offensive line the rest of the season. They're going to have more adversity. They're going to need him, in my opinion, at some point.
It's going to take some time, though, and we are not even close to halfway through the season. So there's still a lot of football left.
Yep.
So I think they're taking the long view, but I think they're going to try to keep him out of the spotlight and just work with him. Hopefully he makes progress little by little. But I still look at him as a guy that is not going to help you anytime soon.
Yeah, and that's why I think he's frustrated, because it's like we've discussed, he's a first-round pick. You expect the first-round pick to be able to do something for you, no matter the position, except for, you know, there are obviously exceptions with a quarterback or something like that. But at his position, it's not that you were drafting him to start right away, but as we brought up, John Robinson and Mike Vrabel said he's here to compete. Well, he hasn't been in a position to compete, so I can certainly understand why he's ticked off, and now his all-pro left tackle is out for the year. He wants to be able to use his first-round pick, and the guy can't stay on the practice field. So I get it.
They didn't get their first-round pick in there about halfway through the season last year.
But they knew.
Rashawn Evans, the same thing.
Right.
Yeah. The year before.
But with Jeff, they knew. They knew that that's what it was going to be.
Hey, it's Big Jeff.
Big Jeff. I'm sorry. They knew when they drafted him, number one,
right?
The only reason we're getting this guy at this position is because he got hurt. And number two, they knew he wasn't going to be ready until about halfway through the season. That was not the case with Isaiah Wilson.
But it sort of was with Rashawn Evans.
Yeah. Not by design, though. I mean, didn't he get hurt in camp?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so Isaiah Wilson got COVID. I mean, and he did a lot to himself, but the net result is they didn't have the services of their first-round pick the last 2 years for about half the season. So they almost could be ahead of themselves if Isaiah Wilson comes into the picture at all during the halfway point of the season. So it's something they've dealt with before for different reasons.
It's one thing to
Corey
have
Davis. What did Corey Davis do his rookie year? He wasn't out there very much.
Yeah, that's fair. Well,
I mean, don't forget they had to go through this with Nate Davis. And it's one thing to go through
another good example
with a third-round pick. It's another thing to go through it with a first-round pick. You know? I mean, just you when you draft a guy like that, and you're right, it's been, unfortunately, this has been every year. It feels like that, you know, the first-round pick has no impact in the first half of their rookie season. Zero. And that's unfortunate. And that's going to be the case with Isaiah Wilson, because it's not going to happen in the first half. I think right now the goal, the way I look at it, is Isaiah Wilson's got to be in the plans for the stretch run, the second half of the season. That's the way I look at it. He's not going to be in there Sunday. He's not going to be in there next week. But when they get to the halfway point of the regular season, it's time to have real serious talks about Isaiah Wilson and how can he help and how can he contribute to this offensive line and help this team. That's the way I look at it. You guys may differ.
No, I agree with you. I agree with you on that. So,
because they're going to need him. I'm just telling you, there's going to be more adversity. More things are going to happen. I mean, this is a prime example. You heard, you know, Samari Roll. You play Pittsburgh, you know what's going to happen. This is going to be a very, very physical game. And you never know what the fallout's going to be from a really, really physical game like this one coming up on Sunday. And if more injuries mount, you know, you're going to need healthy bodies in there. So, once again, that could speed up the process. We'll come back. We'll start the fourth and final hour with Lee Sterling from Paramount Sports. We'll try to get some winners for this weekend. That's next.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car looked in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.